The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I had to stop and scratch there for a second.
Okay. Your mustache, you might want to clarify that.
I was in the bathroom a little while ago giggling, and these guys were making fun of me outside the door. I tell you what, these guys have no respect for me whatsoever. In the studio with me, my co-host, one of the greatest fishermen to ever walk the face of the earth, Mark Tobin. And a guy that might be even better because he's fished internationally is Greg Thompson. We're going to take you abroad to go fishing today.
Who's that?
What she look like?
What?
The broad.
You said take you abroad.
Abroad. Boys, your terminology, just because you're from Liberty and Blue Springs, you guys just don't understand things.
Excuse me, I'm from Oric.
Well, there you go.
That explains it. I wouldn't admit that to anybody. Oric, Missouri. Boy, they hate me there. At that city council meeting that night, they hated me. Ooh, man, was they mad at me. That's a long story.
How can anybody be mad at you? You're just a harmless little lovable fuzzball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, give me a hug every once in a while. My goodness, you know. Here's something going on, gentlemen, and I'm really proud of this. The Delta Waterfowl Foundation Squaw Creek Chapter 3rd Annual Banquet is coming up Saturday, October the 16th. The doors open at 5 p.m., go to 7 p.m. It's the Knights of Columbus Hall, 1205 North 49th Terrace, St. Joe, Missouri. If you're coming out of Kansas City, take the Frederick Avenue, which that's what they named it after me. Take a right, go down to the swans. There's a bunch of swans swimming around the water. Take a right right there, and you'll be down to Knights of Columbus. The Jim Mash and John Mash Memorial fundraiser, I gave away a duck hunt for two, and the guy called me. I've never heard anybody say giddy in my life, and we're going to go duck hunting sometime in December. And he gave a premium price to come duck hunt with us, and I kind of looking forward to hunting with this gentleman. So if you were bidding on that, which seems like a lot of people were, they have conned me into giving away another hunt for the Squaw Creek area and the chapter up here. So if you didn't get the bid on that one, come on up and join us. This is a great Pinzino is going to cook a barbecue. Have you guys ever had Pinzino barbecue?
No.
Oh,
good stuff.
You want a moment alone with that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's orgasmic food.
Major salivation.
Oh, this guy can cook. He could cook a runover dog. Man, he's good. I think some of that might have been dog, come to think of it. I'm not real sure, but it still tasted good. Well, anyway, so come on up Saturday, October the 16th. The door opens at 5 to 7. It's, again, the Knights of Columbus Hall, 1205 North 49 Terrace, St. Joseph, Missouri. We'd love to have you up there. You can walk in the door. You tickets are $20. Single tickets are $45. Couple tickets are $70. Silver sponsors are $500. Gold sponsor, $1,000. And if you're a platinum sponsor, $1,500 for a table. That's a table of eight. You will be guaranteed a choice of three guns that we will have at your table.
Wow, how cool is that?
So, I don't know how you lose on something like this.
Oh, I mean.
And you're going to hang around with a bunch of duckaholics, and you're also going to get the best barbecue that you've ever had in your entire life.
That just can't beat it.
So we'd love to see you up there. And, boy, it's you know, Delta's, you know, you go to a DU bank, well, there's nothing wrong going to DU bank. They're cool. But Delta's is a little bit more vibrant, I guess would be the terminology. A little more fun, weirder stuff to auction off and see, you know. So
fun.
What can you auction off, Mark? Some hedge clippings?
I could maybe some mole pelts.
That would, mole pelts.
Yeah.
Huh. They're soft, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're incredible.
How about a guided mole hunt?
I would enjoy that, yeah. There's nothing more gratifying than killing one of them.
You're such a nice guy. I could have put the bite on you to take a couple guys fishing, in which you'd have probably gladly given up. They all worked to go fishing.
Yeah, right.
We didn't get that in the banquet this year. It's too late now. But next year,
okay,
we'll probably work that in a little bit. But I'm looking forward to this. And I think last year that duck hunt for two only brought like $150.
Wow,
and it's okay, and it was net money for raising baby ducks, but I know what this one over at Jim Mash with John Mash Memorial thing brought, and so anyway, if you want to come go duck hunting, and here's our duck hunting: don't need no hip boots, you really don't need warm clothes. You want to gather around the heater. We have 350,000 BTU heaters inside of the duck blind, and the dog will go get the ducks. You don't get in the water, you know. It's a real hunt. Oh, real hunt. Anyway, come up there and help us out a little bit. The money goes to Delta. Delta is, I just love these people. They just do great things. And they raise baby ducks. A lot of the guys at Delta are volunteers. Go out and put out the hen houses in the fall. And some of the duck population in the southern hatch areas is down 77%. So we do need to raise more baby ducks and do some more research on them. That's Delta's cup of tea. So come join us on the deal.
The amount of money they raise and the amount of money they actually put back into the ducks is very high, too. So there's, mm-hmm. their overhead is not as high as some of the other groups.
Nothing like that. And like I said, a lot of the guys drive their own pickup. They do a predator management area. And the guys go out there and trap and take all the predation out of the equation, and that helps raise baby ducks. And a lot of those guys are just volunteers.
Right.
And just go do it on their own nickel type thing on the deal. We were alleged to have the Governor Kristi Noem today, alleged, and it's still in the works. It is hard to schedule things with her. I think this will still happen. If you guys have never been to South Dakota pheasant hunting, yeah. Oh, now that's a moment alone, too.
You know? Right. And there's a lot that goes into keeping those populations up. And she does a good job.
She's a wonderful person. Yeah, that's all you can say about her. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, she's a wonderful person.
Yep.
So we're working on it. We thought maybe we could put it together this week. I think probably hear from them next week. They either do yay or nay. But I would love to interview her. I'd love to have her on air. And she's an outdoor enthusiast like you can't believe. And I think I've been told that she hunts elk with a bow and arrow during the bugling, during the rut.
Wow.
And I guess she's a tremendous shot with a shotgun and cut her teeth on shooting at roosters.
Cool.
So our kind of gal.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be fun if we can get this done. I'm trying. We're working. We'll see. You know, it takes a lot. You know, we had Steve Ranelli on with the meat eater. That took about 146 phone calls.
Right.
And then we had to come down here in the middle of the day and record the transaction on a deal because he's so in such a demand. But this is the same way. I don't know if we'll have to record it, but we'll still end up maybe with her. Maybe. A big maybe. But, boy, her demands. Unbelievable.
Maybe you should interview her from your duck blind.
I would love to.
That'd be great. That'd be cool.
I think I could entice her to come down on that, but she kind of hates leaving them roosters up there in South Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys, neither one of you been up there hunting roosters, have you?
No. Nope.
I used to own a farm up there with a group of guys from Richmond, and it was in a corporation we called ROMP, the Royal Order of Missouri Pheasant Hunters.
Wow.
And the one great thing about South Dakota is, for party guys, you can't start hunting till noon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you don't need to worry about that the night before.
One of our farms was right next to the public hunting area, so there was a ton of people, and you could hear the horn go off in town for noon, and they would start walking into their fields, and they would just come over into us.
Oh, my gosh.
Professional beaters.
Oh, my gosh. It was great. It's wonderful up there. Love it.
You know, the first time I went up there, I'll never forget it. I thought, well, what the hey, let's go. You know, we were doing a TV show. So we go to Winter, South Dakota, turn north on a blacktop by McDonald's. Go up over the hill, and there's like 12 roosters standing in the road. Well, I'm from Northwest Missouri. Walk 3 miles, you'll never see 12 roosters.
Yeah, right.
And you might, and it limit was one. And if you got one, it was like a trophy, you know. And they're so good to eat. You want a moment alone with those, too, you know. Would you slop barbecue sauce on a pheasant, Mark?
I don't think I'd do that.
Okay, all right.
Oh, sour cream and rosemary.
Sour cream and rosemary.
Oh, it's good.
So anyway, we went up over the hill. There was 12 roosters. Go up over the next hill. There's 20 roosters standing in the road.
Golly.
I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Wow.
And South Dakota, and I assume it's still this way. I don't know that. I hate to say this and not be, and probably am wrong. They probably have changed it. But you used to be able to hunt from the roadway. And it was not, as long as you didn't shoot across the road, you know, you shoot straight down the ditches. Well, if the bird fell over on the neighbor or across the fence, you had to lay your firearm down, ingress, egress, come straight back out of the deal. So it was, you know, and there's a ton now, thanks to the governor, of public hunting areas up there, too. And you can harvest just a lot of birds.
That's a lot of birds.
People have no idea. And the mass exit of Kansas City. Kansas City literally inundates South Dakota. Hmm. You can't believe the hundreds of thousands of people out of Kansas City that are headed to South Dakota on opening day.
Now, you wouldn't put barbecue sauce on them, would you?
Yes. Yeah,
no.
You put barbecue sauce on your coffee.
Chicken fried with gravy. Mashed
chicken
gravy.
Fried with gravy.
Yep.
White gravy?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, I don't believe you, but I think you should cook for us, and we'll make
try.
Our own decision.
Yeah, he puts barbecue sauce on crappie. I know he does. Yeah. He said he didn't.
I have put it on ice cream before.
Have you?
Uh-huh.
And?
It was good.
It was good.
Very good, yeah.
On ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Vanilla.
Vanilla ice cream with barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, let's try it. What do
you
say?
You know, a funny story about up there. So you can, at the time, I believe you could have 9 pheasants was your possession limit, 3 a day for 3
days.
That's
a long time ago then.
I don't know what it is now. But anyway, it would crack me up as to how many people the game warden would pull over that on the third day they'd be going home in the afternoon with 9 frozen pheasants. Every one of them were ticketed. You can't freeze a pheasant in an hour.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. picky.
Yeah, details.
A lot of the deer are on their feet, guys. They're in my backyard now.
Oh, I saw a bunch of them coming in this morning.
And for you bow hunters are heading out, they're getting a tree ASAP. Sun's coming up. And they are going to move all day. Now, I'm tracking. Did you hear about the 50-point buck that was shot in Kansas?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you see the pictures of it?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I mean, now there's a deer you want a moment alone with.
Oh, my gosh. It's just a picture.
And the guy was so brutally honest.
Yeah.
There was a hole in the ear. It escaped from a game farm, they assume, because that's not normal. I think it looked more like an elk than it did a deer and a deal. But with that being said, you know, I still hold to my word. I think the new world record deer will come out of the state of Kansas.
I wouldn't be surprised, not at all.
But this deer here was so huge, you know, it was 50 points and massive antlers. And whoever lost that deer lost a lot of money.
Boy, no kidding.
And that deer's probably worth $100,000, you know. Yeah, the genetics and or when they shed the antlers,
right,
you know, on the deal. So I don't know if that deer would probably not shed antlers, though.
Don't they? Really?
No, I don't think so. You know, the big thing right now, you know, I don't know if you, there was an article that I read about they were catching deer on ranches, and they would take one of the testicles out and shoot him with growth hormone.
Man, how cruel.
We got a producer's only got one.
Well,
you know, so, you know,
he does works wonders with that.
Yeah, and he's having, I mean, I'm sure he's having fun. But anyway, that's what the big deal is right now. Everybody wants these great big deer, you know, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, right. No.
And you, both you guys, I think on record as that you actually eat whitetail deer.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
40% of whitetail deer have COVID. Does that bother you guys?
Nope. No.
You're still
everybody's got to die something.
That's right. Okay, well, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Don't you find that bizarre that white-tailed deer now have COVID?
Yeah.
Do you eat chicken? Do you eat eggs?
I ate egg the other day.
Okay. Yeah, sure they come out of a chicken's butt. Does that bother you?
No.
I've been trying to talk back here a couple different times, and I realized I wasn't on programming. Yeah, so you guys, I was wondering why you guys were ignoring me.
Well, that's
another reason for ignoring you.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Where'd you go without permission?
I went down to Oklahoma City.
And?
I can't say it on air.
Was it an all-time low?
It is pretty close.
Bachelor party?
Bachelor party from hell.
Who's the lucky man or the... Who do we send our sympathies to? Yeah.
You can send our sympathies to Hunter Mahan out of Jefferson City, Missouri.
Well, deepest sympathies, Hunter.
So you had to go to another state to.
That's how bad it was. Huh?
Ooh,
there is a water. It's not a water park, but it is basically an Olympic training facility that is open to the public that you can simulate whitewater rafting down in Oklahoma City.
Huh. Wow.
Pretty cool.
Did you do that?
Say what?
Did you do that?
We did that, and we also went to Toby Keith's bar.
Did you? Did you shoot any guns while you were down there?
Shot a bunch of guns. We went to a place called Big Boys Guns and Ammo down in Oklahoma City, and you can rent for fairly cheap price. I was actually pretty impressed with the renting price, but you can rent about, I think it's about 100 different weapons.
How cool.
My kind of state.
Hey, did they have any SARS pistols?
I was just about to say, I was looking for SARS. They probably did. I didn't shoot many handguns. Shot a lot of big boy guns, though.
Well, it's kind of funny you bring up SARS pistol because I went and did a little shooting the other day, and I've converted the boys now. And I think there was 11 guys there, and 9 of them had SARS pistols.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And they think it's just they said the trigger pull is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And the action and the durability and the accuracy, and the thing they really came back to was the price.
Yeah, well,
you know.
That kind of quality and you know, for that reasonable price, you can't beat that combination.
It really is unbelievable. So, we're going to take you fishing when we come back. We've got to take a little bit of a break. Is that all right with you, Blake? You all right?
Sounds good.
He's still recuperating from the bachelor party, but
no.
You don't have good color.
I sweated it all out.
You sweat it all out. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Midwest Outdoors. We're proudly sponsored by King City Lumber Company for any of your outbuilding needs, whether for your doggy, your pony, your horsey, your hay barn, your whatever. These are the finest humans to walk the face of the earth. They can build anything, and when they get through with it, it's because it is first class. It is a master carpenter's doing it. These first-rate lumber, there's nobody like King City Lumber. KingCityLumber.com. Go to their website, and if you don't see what they like, they'll help you design one. King City Lumber. King City, Missouri. What we got another announcement here?
Yeah, it's the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas Mega Raffle. It's coming up October 1st. That's going to be the drawing. So you still have a little bit of time to get some tickets. Tickets are one for $20, three for $50, or seven tickets for $100. And you do not need to be present to win. But they've got a whole bunch of great prizes that they're giving away. And one of the most sought after is a guided fishing trip with Brent Frazee.
Yeah, I don't know whether I got to claim this on my taxes. I fished with him twice the week before last. Do I have to claim that $700?
Oh, yeah. You have to.
I didn't know he was worth that much.
I didn't either, but that's, okay. He swells up.
A lot of things are more expensive these days.
And he sits in the back of the boat. His ego expands and the boat's standing almost straight up, you know.
Now he actually sits in the front. It's a cool lake. It's only electric.
Oh, is that right?
There is no gas, and it's just like you're in the Ozarks.
How big a lake is it?
Oh, I don't know. Pretty good size, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's
a couple hundred acres.
No, I think it's over 500, isn't it?
That would surprise me.
It's a good size.
Where is exactly is that located?
Parkville.
Yeah,
and that's not open to the public.
Though. No.
That's a private lake, period. It's a private lake. And they will tar and feather you if they catch you fishing illegal there.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. They watch Brent to see what he's using. So, of course, I think he's the mayor of Wrist Lake, to tell you the truth.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Unofficial.
Yeah.
Unofficial official. But anyway, if you want more information, want to get tickets, or go look at the list of prizes that are available, go to outdoormentors.salsa, SALSA/ABS.org. That's outdoormentors.salsa, SALSA/ABS.org. And get some tickets.
Does anybody understand that one?
Yeah, that's a long
I'll
one.
Post it.
Yeah, Greg does a great job taking care of our Facebook
Don't
page.
Don't give
us.
Him
we,
any
we
accolades.
Appreciate it.
I mean, he's swelled up enough now. Be mean to him. Talk to him like he's a red-haired stepchild, you know.
He's bigger than I am. I need to be nice.
He's not mean. I don't think he's mean at all. I don't know.
I don't think you'd want to trip his trigger.
What do you mean? I bet Blake here to jump on him and hold him down the floor.
Well, that's true.
Blake's tough.
I'm real tough.
Hey,
I'm tough with two Fs.
There you go.
He drinks his milk out of a dirty glass.
That's right. By golly, he's.
I put ice in my milk.
Oh, you're a rebel.
Hey, that's hardcore. Tell me about your trip to Alaska. Where'd you go to?
I went to the Malchutna River. Stayed at the Chattanooga
Lodge. Where
is
it? Where? I mean, that'll meet. Where is that? By
it's northwest of here. Okay, to get there, I flew to Anchorage, and then I flew a plane over to Iliama. And Iliama is an odd deal. It's got a really nice runway. And it's where they haul stuff in, cargo in, and then they distribute it to the villages up above Iliama. They've also got a floatplane airport there at Iliama, and we took off in, I think, a 1947 De Havilland.
Ooh,
and
boy.
Flew about another 90 miles. We were totally off-grid. It was wonderful, beautiful, beautiful.
Huh. And the fishing was?
The fishing was okay. Strangely enough, I thought it was just I was in an area that maybe just wasn't a good place to fish. But now I'm saying that I caught 35 or 40 fish a day. For Alaska, that's not a lot of fish.
Oh, you poor baby.
My first day at Antioch 1 year, I caught 86 Dolly Vardens and 40 rainbows over 20 inches in one day.
Now, that's a good day.
That's a good day.
But after I got to talking to some of my people in other camps, it was all the same. One of the oddities is I didn't see any kings, so the rainbows like to set up behind king spawning. I didn't see any chums, and the Dolly Vardens like to stay behind them when they're spawning. But I saw sockeye everywhere. Their normal sockeye run is 300,000. They had 800,000 sockeye in there.
Wow.
I visited with the people up at Antioch, and the same situation. And Antioch has the largest wild run of chum salmon in the world, about 2 million.
Hmm. So what did you catch?
I caught Dolly Varden. I caught rainbow. They have northern there, but I don't like to fish for them. I just don't. They're just nasty. Don't like to fish for them. I caught a sculpin, about a 4-inch sculpin.
Really? Never seen one that big.
Silvers. The silvers were even timid this time. There wasn't as many silvers in the area as normal. And that's what even the villages, that's what everybody, they'll go catch a silver for dinner.
Sure.
You know, we did catch silvers up to about, I don't know, 16 pounds.
They get acrobatic?
They're crazy. They spin a lot, too. They spin a lot. Of course, this water's swift.
Is this an area a certain time of year of king salmon or not?
Yes. Actually, there's two king lodges above where I was fishing. And they're only open for 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I actually talked to the new owner of the camp. I said, I don't care whether we catch any fish one day. Let's take off. So we went an hour farther upriver than he had ever been above the king camps. You feel like you're the only ones that have ever seen there. A lot of bear tracks. There's a lot of moose hunting around there. I actually saw one of the villagers come out with a moose. It was still in velvet. And the locals, the villagers, get to hunt 2 weeks, a week before the residents and non-residents and the other areas. The non-residents can only hunt within 2 miles of the river.
Huh, I'll be darned. Wow.
That's strange.
I thought so.
Yeah. Did you see any camoose or bear? You didn't see any bears.
Didn't see any bears, but they were close. They do not like boat motors.
Yeah, they run high, don't they?
Yeah, they do not like boat motors. And only one of us saw, one of the groups saw moose. But again, they don't like boat motors either. A lot of a lot of eagles, peregrine falcons. Mm-hmm. One of the ways I like to fish, some people call it cheating, but that's fine. I love it. I use very light line, and you use a plastic bead above a hook that is two fingers above a hook. And what happens is the fish bites the bead, which thinks it's a piece of roe, and then you hook it on the underneath side of its chin.
Oh, gosh.
All catch and release. No fish were harmed in this expedition.
Barbless hooks?
Yes, I do. I literally don't think you're going to lose that many more fish if you fish barbless.
If you know how to fish.
If you know how to fish.
There you go. How many trips have you gone to Alaska now?
Eight.
What's the most memorable? Where?
Well, I always like the Aniak. I caught 14 species of fish there. That's they've got one of the fish they have there is called the she-fish, and it's only in a couple of rivers in Alaska and one in Russia, I believe. And an oddity about this, it looks a lot like a tarpon. The oddity is these things get together and they'll find a group of smolt, and they will circle from the bottom, and they will get them closer and closer and closer together till they push them to the surface, and then all of them are go after them.
Wow,
and
cool.
The birds are above it, so you can see the fish rolling. The birds are nailing down on them. They're actually wonderful to eat, hard to catch.
How big do those get?
I have no idea. I think probably the biggest one I caught like 10 or 12 pounds.
Well, that's big.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun fishing. And it's the only river that has she-fish and leopard rainbow. It's as far north as leopard rainbow are and as far south as she-fish are. Huh. So it's an oddity. And we did see a lot of moose there. I think one day when I went up from the main cabin, we saw nine.
Nine.
Yeah, wolves. Wow. A lot of wolf tracks.
Yeah.
How fun.
The tundra's right across from one of our camps, so we're looking out over that. And, you know, they have a big migration of caribou, but about every 7 years they get this hoof disease, and it makes their feet so sore that they don't move and they starve to death. Oh, like well, yeah. He doesn't look like he's starved very much.
His feet are so sore.
That's why he's got those insoles.
That's right. Can't get along.
Greg, can you tell us the difference between he-fish and she-fish?
Spread the fins and check the crotch.
You're thinking about getting engaged and you don't know the difference? Do we need to have that little talk?
That's why I asked you.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get with you later, buddy.
Off the air, please. We're walking on thin ice here anyway, because my co-host here takes us off in the ditch every once in a while, and I have to explain to people all week about what he meant. You know, he didn't mean anything by it on the deal. Mark, you remember we were up on the Kenai?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'd read too much and knew too much about it. I wasn't as excited about it as I probably should have been, but we did okay.
Yeah, well, and I expected to be more wilderness, but it wasn't like that at all. Not where we were at. I mean, it was like all of the fast food restaurants we have here, they had there.
Yeah.
And there was so many boats. I mean, you could go from one to another. And you're allowed one king salmon, and I caught one just right off. And it was, I don't remember, 34 pounds, something. I mean, it was the biggest fish I'd seen, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I kept it. Well, I was done.
You're done for the day.
I was done for the trip. I couldn't even go back out.
Yeah. And
I wished I hadn't, because you didn't. You caught a couple, I think, before you caught your big one.
Yeah.
And yours was over 60 pounds, wasn't it?
70-something.
Goodness. Well, that's over 60.
Yeah, it was nice fish. Yeah. And it was, and the Kings, whether it's 30 pound or 70, the energy level in that thing,
it
shakes your vibration, bottom of your soles, your shoe. You'll slip on the floor. I mean, the boat. I mean, there's so much energy in those fish.
They're so
wild
strong.
As it can get.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. But it was kind of just, when we were on the Kenai, it was like you might as well have been on the bank of the Nottoway River because you could see it was mud banks.
Yeah, the water was they call that, glacier milk? It's like a milky kind of a color.
Mm-hmm.
From glacier melt, supposedly. and it gives it a very strange color.
Yeah. Do we need to get a break in here?
We probably should.
We need to get a break in here before we get too much more excited. We are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the finest Chevrolet dealer in America. And I mean that from my heart. I go over and just hang out some days. I bet they think, what is that guy walking around the showroom for? But they have the darndest selection of vehicles I've ever been around, and they are selling stuff like you cannot believe. Everybody's dooming and glooming the car industry. I don't see much effect up there. So if you want, and they've got such a good reputation, and people coming from Iowa and Nebraska down there to buy vehicles. Why? It's because of price, non-commissioned salespeople. That whole family is just first-class humans. I love them to death, and I've never been so giddy and excited to have a sponsor like Reed Chevrolet, because I know they mean it. You know, they're going to work with you in any way. They never sell you a car. They help you buy one. You don't like the price, they don't like the price. And they'll see, well, let's go sharpen pencils some more, or, well, no, that's where we're at, and I'm sorry we couldn't work out. But there's no high pressure on the deal. But in service after the sale, their back end takes a back seat to nobody. I could go on for about 30 minutes about Reed Chevrolet, but I better not. But my goodness, Frederick and I-29, 28-minute drive off of the north end of KCI runway, and you'll be in the finest Chevrolet store in the United States of America, in my opinion. Hey, watch, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, and what an honor it is for me to share the Palacio Studios of the Sports Radio 810 radio station here with Waterfowler Hall of Famer Mr. Fred Ramsey and World Traveling Fisherman and the purveyor of our Facebook page, Mr. Greg Thompson. And I made a mistake on that Outdoor Communicators raffle, the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas Mega Raffle. The address to go to if you would like to get tickets is Outdoor Mentors, M-E-N-T-O-R-S, .SalsaLabs, S-A-L-S-A, Labs, L-A-B-S, .org. SalsaLabs.org. I think they could shorten that up a little bit.
Is that the only mistake you've ever made in your life?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask.
Well, and joining us on the phone, got my good buddy, Mr. Joe Falco, from fresh back from Canada.
What?
Yeah.
He made it all the way up there and back? Joe
right.
did?
Yeah, from Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Can you hear me okay, Mark?
I can, yeah.
Just great.
Great. So tell me about this trip. You know, the last time that you went to Canada was back in 2019, is that right?
Yes, we actually went in August, and of course, in 19, we went in August of 19. So, first time any those fish on that lake that I was on had seen a lure since I went in August.
almost 2 years. Two years. So,
yep.
Did anybody fish there at all last year?
No. You had fishing in Canada, but not Americans fishing in Canada. So the place that I go to caters to Americans, which most camps do up there. Most camps cannot make a living without Americans. That's it. So, yes, so the lakes I went to, and the gentleman I fish with has 13 lakes. So none of his have seen a fisherman in 2 years.
Oh, so how was it?
You know, Mark, people, you can do anything you want in Canada, but where we go, they're kind of like, you know, fish in a pond. They're big lakes, but they're fish in a pond if you know where you're going. So normally six of us will catch, for as long as we went, we'll catch 2,000 to 3,000 fish.
Good.
Or, excuse me, 1,500 to 2,000 fish.
Oh, my.
We were well over 3,000 fish this year. Well over.
For how many days were you there?
Well, I did a double trip. Most of the guys did 5. I kind of did 9.
Kind of did.
I mean, did you get tired of catching walleye?
I thought I would. I thought I would, but no. Absolutely not.
Now,
my fingers were getting a little tired of catching walleye, but not me.
You had told me about a fish that you caught more than once.
Yeah, Ed, that was probably what I learned the most on this trip, is that here I thought I was I thought I was catching 3,000 fish. Well, now what I think is I caught 1,000 three different times. I had one fish, and it was you couldn't mistake it. It had a lip missing, the whole top lip. Now, how it even, you know, caught fish, but the teeth were underneath the lip. It had exposed teeth. Wow. And had a red mark right on the side of it. And I caught the fish on the fourth day, or no, I guess it was probably the sixth day because I stayed 9 days, the eighth day and the ninth day in the same general area within 50 yards of where I caught it the first time.
I didn't remember you caught it three times. I thought you caught it twice. You caught it three times.
Three times. Three times.
What a dumb fish.
Yeah, well, you know, especially why didn't the other guy in the boat catch it one time? But no, I caught it three times. I'd like to pitch Canada real quick. I know we're on a time frame, but so there's a lot of Americans that own resorts. I've been going to Canada now. This will be my 42nd trip to Canada, so I've been up there a little bit. So a lot of Americans make a living because their camps are up there. So if you guys are anybody wants to go next year and they want tips, I won't send you to my place necessarily, but I'd be glad to give anybody some advice. Because there's nothing like Canada. If you want to go up there and be pampered, go up and be pampered. Go to a place that has guides and all that. That's not me. I want you to fly me in, and, you know, basically, if I have a heart attack where I am, they basically put me in a boat for weight, and then they catch my limit for me till the plane comes back 7 days later. So, you know, you have your choice, but I think Canada... And I know a lot of guys say they want to go and it's too hard and all that. It is, and I wouldn't be gone 42 times if it was that difficult. I would not have.
How was it this year, you know, with the COVID restrictions and all that? How hard is it to get up into Canada now?
Well, that was the beautiful thing. I was the only one that did it. I swear. I mean, everybody thought it was going to be bad. It was so easy. I mean, I hope nobody goes next year because I got right in. It was nothing, huh. Nothing.
Well, cool.
Yeah, nothing. Again, honestly, Mark, there's time to go. I considered going again, but I just have too much going on. But Canada, it's remarkable. Now, guys, I'm catching walleye. When I say catch that many fish, I don't care. I think I don't care for northern. I don't care if one ever gets on my line, and I maybe caught 300 or 400 of those just by accident fishing for walleye.
Wow.
So, you know, but I'm pretty much a walleye fisherman, and it's as awesome as everybody that's ever told you they've been there. It's as awesome as you want it to be. You just got to decide what kind of trip you want. And here's the reason I'm offering my service this year. We're not going to have a boat show. I mean, we're not going to have a boat show. I mean, it's gone, unfortunately. So we're not going to have the sports show. We're not going to have the boat show.
Really?
So, no, we can't do it. Nobody has boats, Mark. We have no boats.
Wow, well, that sucks.
None. Matter of fact, if you want a boat, seriously, if you want a boat, you better be out buying it by December. They're gone. We're sold out.
It's just...
We're already sold. We already have our allotment. So once we fill our, I think we got 40 boats, fishing boats left. Once they're gone, that's it.
Wow. So do you see any end in sight in these shortages?
No. No, I thought the factories would pump up their production. And I hate to say this about anybody, but if you're following the world right now, they're not pumping up their production. They're pumping up their prices.
There you go.
And I hate that.
Yeah, well, out of your control.
I just ordered a fence yesterday. I ordered one 2 years ago, and I just paid 40% more for a fence.
That's terrible.
40%.
Sign of the times. Well, let's talk more about Canada. That's definitely a happier topic. But you can help people get to Canada. And, you know, with the lesser amount of fishing pressure the last 2 years, and next year should be unbelievably good.
Best year ever next year. Guaranteed. I mean, I'm now trying to figure out how to go in June when it opens back up again and August. But it doesn't matter when you go next year. It's going to be phenomenal.
Do you know, you said if you had time, you'd go now. Do you know when the fishing season shuts down in Canada?
It only, really early October, but a lot of the people will start folding up because they don't get many guests. But you could always fish at residence. So there are Canadians that own lodges, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, please, you know, that's where you have to go. But the Americans, they kind of pull out a little bit earlier, from what I know, from the lodges that I've been.
So if somebody would like to contact you and get some information on Canada, how can they do that?
They can call me at Sportsman's Outfitter, Mark. Any, you know, we're there Tuesday through Saturday, and just ask, if you ask for Joe Senior or Joe the old guy, they'll get to me.
What's your phone number?
It's 816-524-BASS, B-A-S-S.
Well, that has never changed, has it?
Oh. No, it has never changed in 27 years.
Well, I'm telling you, boy, it sounds like anybody out there want to go to Canada, it sounds like next year is going to be, well, I mean, you still got some time to do it this year.
Go.
If you want to do it this
year. Get up
year,
and
but,
go. Not what, getting any younger. Get
next
up and
year,
go.
Get up there.
It would be so easy to go now and so easy to prepare for. But, yes, you got to book now, though, Mark. I'm really thinking you have to book now, that you can't wait till January and February. I could be wrong. But the bookings were way up when I was up there. I booked, cool. I did book two trips, by the way.
Oh,
and
cool.
And I was filling up the board. They have boards where they fill up.
Well, what's going on at Sportsman's Outfitter?
We have no boats, but we have production slots. So no boats. We have some used stuff coming in, but no boats, but we have production slots. So pretty much, Fred, you're going to love this. Pretty much, I plan to be sold out on November the 5th.
Wow.
That's what I plan on. So you know what the 6th is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I've
got that marked down. Yeah.
Yeah. Duck hunter opener. So don't call me after the 6th. I'm fishing. I'm hunting 60 days this year.
Good.
I got no boats.
Good. My kind of guy.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. And you guys, I love your show. You know that.
Well, we love you and need to get you here in the studio for the whole hour next time.
Just let me know, guys.
Okay,
have a good day.
All right. You too. Right. Take care.
Bye.
What a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just the best place. Just a shame. And, you know, be proactive. If you want a boat, he was telling me, get him before November 1st, get it ordered. You're not going to have one next year. And that's just horrible. I mean, that's terrible. This is 2 years in a row now that these shortages are going on.
Greg, do you own a boat?
Yes.
Do you use it much?
No.
It's like a lot of people. I know a lot of people have boats and never use them.
I'm a little smarter than that. I've got a friend that's got two, and so he gets all the headaches and I get all the benefits.
Yeah, right.
Are you going to Uganda?
No.
How come?
I don't have anything planned right now. I'm not saying I'm never going.
Have you fished there before?
I have never fished in South Africa, but I will be fishing soon. Let me back up a second. First Liar doesn't have a chance. Joe was talking about he's caught the same fish three times. You all been to Alaska, so you know those fish don't have line spook. They've never seen a line. So I was standing on a bank about 6 feet above the water, and there was a Dolly Varden behind a chum salmon. So I dropped my bead down there, and I caught the fish. I never moved. The guide put it back in the water. That fish went right back. I caught that fish four times. I watched him swim right back to where he was.
In the world? Wow.
Four times. Yeah.
Wow.
First Liar don't stand a chance.
Have a chance here. No.
Yeah.
No, the reason you ask is I'm actually headed to South Africa in about 3 weeks. Crazily enough, I'm going to stay 3 days with a friend of mine that lives in Pretoria before I go on up into we're going to fish the Chobe River for 3 days. And mark your calendar, if I have good enough Wi-Fi service on October 16th, I'm going to bite the bullet and stay up till 11:30 at night.
Oh, no.
To be able to do the show from the Chobe River in Namibia.
Namibia. Cool.
And from there, we're going to go down and fish the Zambezi. I'm fishing for tiger fish, voodoo catfish. They have a bream that looks kind of like a tilapia. They have a fish called a chesa, which they use for bait. But to me, it looks like a shad with a real small mouth, up to about 5 or 6 pounds. And they fillet it, and they put one of the fillets on a piece of piano wire with a spinner on it for the tiger fish. I'm actually going to take some of Jeff Williams' dead red blood spray to see how that would work over there.
I bet it
would
work. I wouldn't know why it wouldn't.
I'm going
to
take some of Blake Moore's Roadrunners. I've caught fish almost everywhere I've gone on Roadrunners.
Mm.
Roadrunner or Rattle Trap if I only have two lures in my tackle box.
Mm.
They were telling me that at the Chobe, the little kids are along the bank, and they catch these dogfish. and then the guides come by and pay them for the dogfish, and that's what we use for voodoo cat bait.
Voodoo cat is we get the 80 pounds, 2 pounds. What's
it? Well, yeah, they get in the 80 pound, under 100 pounds, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I've seen some in the 50-60 pound range. That I've literally been talking on an app called WhatsApp to my guide for about 4 months now, and so actually after I got to know him pretty well, I asked him how much bail money I should bring for both of us.
Time you get over there, that country might change their name. It might be overthrown, you know.
You never know.
Do you ever get spooked when you travel?
You know, the only time that I think I ever got spooked is when I flew into down into central Venezuela, and I was the only one on this trip. I was by myself. I was going to spend 8 days there, and I got to the airport. When we landed at the airport, nobody spoke English, and I don't, unless I want to order a beer, or go to the bathroom, that's about the extent of my Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And so first of all, I didn't know who was going to meet me. They put all your luggage on a flatbed truck and you fight for it over in the parking lot. But so we head off across the Llanos, and we get out there, and this, me and this other guy, I mean, they could have robbed me and that was the end of it. Come up there and there was rocks and logs across the road, and I thought, okay, here we go. We got road banditos. We're going to die. But now he just drove off in the ditch and kept going. But everywhere I go, I pretty much got handlers. And actually, I feel a lot safer going to some of those places I do to downtown Kansas City.
Huh. Wow. What? Downtown Kansas City is a beautiful place.
Some of it is.
But you definitely recommend to have a handler.
Oh, absolutely. At my age, I don't heal up well. you know, don't go Rambo over there. You know what you're doing ahead of time. Know the people you're dealing with ahead of time. I always like to book with an American agent because that way I've got somebody to blame when I get back. But I've used the same agent for 40 years, and she's never steered me wrong. So
I was just about to ask you how you set up these individual trips as far as getting a handler and becoming comfortable with some. I mean, when you're kind of out there, like you said, slightly Rambo, and how do you feel comfortable, or how do you get acclimated to your situation?
Crazily enough, this couple lived in South Africa, and they are South African, for 16 years. They live in Louisville, Kentucky, and they've been doing these safaris forever. Along with the fishing, actually, they've sent me videos. While you're fishing, there might be a herd of elephants, you know, grazing along the bank, or a pride of tigers, or, you know, we are actually fishing through game reserves.
Huh, cool.
So I asked them about if I was going to be able to sample any wild game, and the second place we're not because it's all reserved, but the first place isn't. So I'm hoping I'll try anything once.
Did you eat an elephant? You would try one on?
If it was available, I'd try it, yep.
Put some barbecue sauce on it?
Yeah. which barbecue sauce do you recommend, Mark, for elephant?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Yep.
Greatest barbecue sauce ever made, isn't it?
Yep, yeah, I'll try to get her done then. Yep.
Lucky Snipe still got it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, go to LuckySnipe.com.
Go to Lucky Snipe. If you want the greatest barbecue sauce ever went down your gullet.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's good.
Tobin made it.
I did.
What about tarpon?
In South Africa?
Yeah, they've got tarpon in South Africa.
They would be, but I'm fishing all freshwater.
Okay, but now here's the reason I asked that. They tagged a tarpon down by Miami, and it ended up in South Africa.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, up one of those rivers over there. There's really no study on tarpon. They don't know where they go, what happens. No, nothing on the thing.
Must be an old one that wouldn't ask directions.
Must not have had a lip.
who do you use for your travel agent?
I use a lady, and she lives in Nixon, Missouri, and her name is Jackie Counts. And if anybody wants her information, you message me at our Facebook site, and I'll get you with her. But the great thing about her is a lot of the places I go, she's been.
Mm.
So, and everybody that I've sent you know, has really liked her. But, and the only thing we really got to worry about, the most dangerous thing, hippopotamus.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, they'll eat you.
Yeah.
They'll stomp you.
Yep.
It works. We're out of time.
What?
Yeah. What?
That doesn't seem
It's all Blake's
impossible.
Fault. Blake, can we do another hour?
I sure would like you guys to.
Turn the music off. Let's just keep talking.
Yeah, let's keep talking. All three of our listeners like this show, I guarantee you.
We still got three?
Oh, no. Oh. Well, I made that up.
All three of us
You think
here.
Anybody's up at this time? No. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. Next time I see you, I hope I see you in a great Blake's about to have a stroke. He thinks we're going to go long, and that befuddles him enough. He don't care. Nah, I know you better.
Well,
we got to go for this week. Next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.